The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We're doing it different now.
You do what's different?
Well, the microphone's on the left side of me instead of the right side.
Yeah.
And I have a blue cable today.
Oh, okay.
Instead of a red one.
All right.
Not that I paid attention to that stuff before, but mm-hmm. I don't. Yeah. Well, then you get, you know, old Shane in here.
Uh huh.
And then it screwed all the levels up.
Yeah.
In the studio. Anyway,
I didn't even listen to that one. I forgot to hear how he sounded versus us, with him being on that and us being on this.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it sounded all right.
Yeah. I mean, what? Sounds like what it sounds how it's going to sound.
Mm-hmm.
I started already.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
God damn it. You son of a bitch.
Got you again. Remember how we were saying funny jokes before?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't record those.
Oh, you didn't record the joke about the barren woman?
No.
No?
No. Hilarious joke about a barren lady.
What's going on, buddy?
Barren's such a brutal...
Yeah, like there's nothing.
...thing to say.
There's nothing up in there.
She's a barren woman.
It's just a...
No water.
Just a
no
desert.
Flora, no fauna.
She's got a hostile womb.
Yeah, just tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Just tumbleweeds wearing flip-flops. We're back at it. Happy Easter Monday.
Yeah, dude. Easter Monday. This is when Jesus rose from the dead and had to go back to work.
Yeah. He's like, oh, boy. That's Jesus' famous words. I came back for this.
I shaved my legs for this.
I died 3 days back. I needed a nap.
Oh, man. What'd you do? Did you go Easter egg hunting?
We went back down. We went down to Newport Beach.
Yeah.
To the missus's family.
Oh, cool. Cousins or something down there?
Yeah, she got an aunt, cousin, and grandfathers down there.
Just the one that jumped off the roof into the pool? Or was that you?
No, that's my cousin.
Oh, your cousin. Okay.
Yeah, maniac.
Okay, gotcha.
50 years old, jumped off a second.
They live down that way too, right?
They were staying down there. They live over on the west side here.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's her cousins. Her grandfather apparently makes a mean ham. Didn't try it.
Yeah.
I was, having a hard time with being.
They had like a big, like a honey baked ham?
Just one that he made and seasoned and just like a Easter, like a holiday ham.
Holiday ham, dude. Ham sandwiches the next day. I told you, the best sandwich in the world. Cold honey baked ham on white bread with mayo. Doesn't get any better than that. Mm.
Sometimes, like, yeah, you just got different mustards you wanted to try.
Well,
ham's a good canvas.
Yeah, that's true.
The old ham canvas.
Ham canvas.
That sounds like
Speaking of a hostile womb.
That sounds like a dirty name or something. It's like the name of a gangbang. Jenna Jameson stars in Ham Canvas.
I never got the appeal of that.
I don't
like waiting in line at the store.
Can I go next? I got stuff to do.
I'm not going to wait in line to bang some lady.
The impatient bukkake. Can I jump ahead? My flight's about to leave. Can I get ahead of you?
Got to go feed the meter after I feed this meter.
Let's be honest. I'm getting a little old and a little distracted. I don't think this boner's going to keep. What if I jump ahead of you?
I never understood that at all. Like, what?
Oh, God. The idea of a hurried gangbang.
Just a bunch of impatient.
We don't need to get that. We did jizz tasting last week.
Yeah.
If we were going to lose people, that was the episode.
That's true.
Mm. But anyway, back to regular ham that you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then it was the same. I saw some video of like a pig died, and then its pig friend was sad and like next to it and being like all sad about its pig friend. I'm like, I can't eat. Ah!
How'd the first pig die?
I don't know. It seemed like natural. They had it like wrapped up in a blanket with flowers on it.
And then he had a pig buddy there?
Yeah, his pig buddy was sad that his friend left.
Aw.
Yeah, and I saw that. I'm like, well, God damn it, now then it's Easter, and I, this is a ham day. This is a ham holiday. And I would taste, because like St. Patrick's Day, I tried, you know, my mom was making corned beef. I'm like, I'll taste it.
You didn't even taste the ham? Just nothing?
No, because you know what it was? Because at least with the corned beef, I was at home, but I was like, oh, I had to leave some. So I'm like, I'll have a little bite. And my mom made it. She made it good. I'm like, all right, it was good. All right, but but just to be have nothing to do all day with a ham, slippery slope.
It's the story of my life.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to have like one little piece and then see a pile of ham there.
Don't leave him alone around your ham.
No.
Oh, man. So what did you
lock up your ham daughters, lock up your ham wives.
What did you eat?
Ham bandits on the loose.
They have vegetarian friendly sides?
I had a lot of scalloped potatoes and rolls.
Just see you with a mountain of potatoes.
I got very full regardless.
Oh, that is the thing, man, about
being
baked
beans I was excited about, but there's bacon in the beans. Bacon. I was like, God damn it.
When I've told you this before, but when I was a vegetarian, that's how it would go, man. It would just, I would just eat cheese quesadillas and cheese pizzas and bean burritos. It was nothing good. Nothing.
Yeah,
healthy.
I'm not eating healthy.
Yeah, just sans meat.
I mean, and it's a little healthier if I'm eating Indian food. That's I think.
Yeah,
but I, but then cholesterol wise, not healthier. Maybe like, I don't know. It's not healthier.
Indian food is about your best option for like full on. Like not missing anything by not eating meat.
I love a big old garbage salad, like a big old toilet salad where you just got everything that's dumped in there.
Yeah, it's a big salad.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm not going to, you know, that's satisfying. Soup? Made soup the other night.
Yeah, what kind of soup?
Just split pea soup. I had a can of it.
Oh.
I came home and I was like, oh, you know, you're so predictable. What are you going to do, order a pizza? I started making fun of myself. You hack. Well, you order a pizza, you dumb, stupid drunk.
There's nothing hack about
that.
I was
like, watch that. Me. Yeah. I had a bowl of soup.
Yeah, you showed you, didn't you?
Yeah. Bowl of pea soup. Went to bed hungry.
Take that.
Yeah, went to bed hungry and farty. Trying to sleep on a belly full of pea soup. Fucking, what am I? Willy Wonka's grandfather? Whatever the grandfather was.
Grandpa Joe.
Yeah, that's how I'm eating.
What'd you do last week? Did you go shredding?
Oh yeah,
well, I haven't seen you in like over a week.
It's been a minute.
Yeah,
since we had.
I can tell you guys. You got a little twinkle in your eye. I can tell you've been shredding.
I got out there. Got out there up north.
Where'd you go?
Rode behind a Madonna Inn or some trail that I.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Did you stay up there again?
We went up there just Saturday. Rachel's friends was having a birthday there.
Uh huh.
But then my bike pals showed up and we rode there and then we rode in Santa Cruz again. Real cool stuff. It was good stuff, man.
Santa Cruz is a cool little town.
Yeah.
I'm going up there,
then
too.
Then in San Luis Obispo, then Hannibal was doing it. I was like, let me see what comedy's going on. Maybe I was like, oh, Hannibal's doing a show.
Oh, yeah?
For as big as Hannibal is, I'm like, you just text him, hey, man, what's up? I'm like, yeah, come by. Do some time.
That's cool, man.
Like, oh, thanks, buddy.
What, did he do a theater up there?
Yeah, did some theater. He had Al Jackson, Brian Babylon with him, DJ Tony Trim. It's a whole fun thing.
I know Al.
Yeah.
Al's a good dude.
Dude, Al was real funny.
Yeah, he's
funny. Al had like, when you hear a lot, like just, oh man, like just out of nowhere, like just shitting on Triscuits. It's like, what's this made out of, scarecrows?
I agree.
Bam, right there. But scarecrows.
That's funny.
The market, like doing the thing like the market, hey, you guys like crackers? What if they're made out of scarecrows? I'm like, that's, you got it. Yeah. What are you vaping? Dave, you vaping?
Well, I don't like the word
vape. Cat hair stuck to that. Were you about to offer that to me?
No,
because I will decline now.
No.
If I could puff it on a vape covered in cat hair, that sounds right. I did a show at a cat cafe Friday.
Explain.
I didn't do 10 minutes. I went up there, didn't tell a single joke, and played with cats.
Wow.
10 minutes. I don't know if it was good or bad to the audience. My apologies to anybody who's seen me over the last week. I've been a bit of a mess.
What's a cat cafe?
An unsustainable business model. First off, it's not a sustainable business. It was just apparently they have coffee. But then other than that, it's a storefront and they've got like 30 cats in there.
You bring your cats?
No, they just have them.
They have them there.
Yeah.
Can you bring your cat?
I don't think so. It's for adoption. You're supposed to take one of theirs. Yeah,
cats don't travel well anyway.
But they're giving the cats away for free. So your overhead is you're paying for cats.
Yeah.
But they're not generous. But I guess somebody else would say you have to pay money to come in and hang out with the cats.
Where is that around
here? It's a bit of a whorehouse for cats. Yeah, it was West Hollywood. It wasn't cheap real estate.
Huh.
And I went in there. I was pretty liquored up, and I just hung out with the cats.
Man, that's funny. You drunk, trying to do jokes, but instead
I didn't. I was like throwing my keys around, trying to get them. I had a bottle. I had a bottle cap. They love that. I kept thinking I was going to start doing a joke, and then like a new cat would come by. I'm like, I'm sorry, everybody, but this little guy back here, and I just.
Oh.
I was just chasing the cats around. I don't know if I ruined the energy of the show, but.
I mean, they got to expect some of that, right?
Put everybody in a room. And then everybody in the audience is like almost listening until a cat walks by. Which if somebody has a cat, I'm like, all right, cool, you have a cat. But the environment, that environment, I was like, oh, exciting. And then I got real loose. My friend's band played at a festival Saturday called the Psycho Smokeout.
Yeah, where's that?
That was at Catch One down at. Right by Gus's, Pico and Crenshaw.
And, Saturday was 420, yeah.
Yeah, it was the 420.
Okay.
But so they got put on, they were like, at first, at like 12:30 in the afternoon.
It's a rough slot.
But I mean, better for them. Like, you're not just getting, but the stuff was indoor. And they had like all the 420 bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm fine with weed. Weed culture is just, oof.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, I never have quite got it. Like, I love it too, but I don't have posters of Nugs on my wall. Like,
I think it's, when the marijuana takes away your personality, it seems like being a fan of the marijuana is the substitute.
Okay.
It's like, no, it's not. I was drinking and getting into it that day.
Did you do some marijuana?
I did some things.
Yes. Yeah. What'd you do?
Stuff.
Just all kind of things?
Yeah.
Edibles or?
Stuff.
Yeah? You don't want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. We'll talk about it later.
A little rock and roll dipshit Saturday. And then I had a show Saturday night. And again, I was like, I don't know. I've not been professional.
Wow, man.
I haven't been taking my career very seriously, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Have you been taking your career seriously?
No, not at all. Not at all. Oh, man.
What'd you do?
I don't know, man. I'm deep into the vinyl thing, man. It's like, it's got a hold of me. You gave me, last time I saw you, you gave me a copy of Whiskey Icarus.
Yeah,
which,
man.
Which I greatly appreciate.
Sure, bud.
Nice addition to my collection. And you know what else I did?
What'd you do?
I paid money. I got online and I bought Death of the Party.
Why?
On white, black, splatter vinyl.
Oh, I don't have that.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And people were asking...
how much did it cost?
it was normal price.
How much is a thing?
It's 20 bucks. And I bought it. If anybody wants that, by the way... Dude, come on.
If anybody wants that, $50.
No, the Whiskey Icarus I've already sold. No. I was telling
Please,
Katie...
Please, if you can make money off of it, I beg you to do
how
so.
How shitty would that be if you gave me one of your albums for free and I flipped it? But no, people were asking about Whiskey Icarus. I don't know where you can buy that other than your garage. I know you got a grip of those back there.
I thought I sold them on...
But if anybody does want Death of the Party, and I know you know this, it came out on...
Stand Up Records.
Yeah, Stand Up Records reissued it on vinyl, correct? It initially came out on a special thing, right?
CD, yeah.
Yeah, the CD. But yeah, go to standuprecords.com, and you got three versions up there. Two of them are sold out, but you can still get the white and black splatter vinyl.
Well, this is all news to me.
Yeah, it's very cool, very cool. So, nice addition to my collection.
Well, these other
Kyle.
Things are on purchase with Amazon.
But yeah, I went to Record Store Day last week. That was a lot of fun.
Whiskey Icarus on vinyl is $83 on Amazon.
Really?
I don't know who's getting that money. I'd love to know who's getting $83.
Oh, I may have to put mine up
for one of my fucking records.
Well, it's out of print. So
is that what it is?
Yeah, when those suckers go out of print, man, it's like anything else.
You've just been giving them away.
Supply and demand.
I've been giving them away. You know what? I'm another $83. Well, you know what I would love to meet the dipshit that pays that much.
I'm looking for the orange vinyl Loose in Chicago. Can't find that. I know you had some of those. You get?
Did I?
You took them down to a record store, didn't you?
I took some stuff down to.
That was record store day last year, I believe. Either last year or the year before that came out. The special orange vinyl.
Man,
can't find that. That's a tough one to find. But, yeah, I went to Record Store Day last week. Guess who I saw at Amoeba? Lil Wayne. I was right next to Lil Wayne.
Small Wayne?
Yeah, Small Wayne. And he is little. Like, he wasn't that short. He was probably 5'7", but, my God, he had to weigh 105 pounds.
He's a slight man.
He was a
slight Wayne.
Frail Wayne. But Lil Wayne was there. And, just had a good time at Record Store Day. Got a bunch of rad stuff. So let me go ahead and throw this out there. Try not to inundate my Instagram followers with my new nerddom, my new vinyl.
Honestly,
hobby.
It's Instagram. You can do whatever
I know,
you want.
But
it's
like
worthless.
Sometimes it's annoying when people get way deep into a thing and
I just
the same way you get
don't
rid of people.
Follow them.
The same way you unfollow people who post too many pics of their kids.
Get out of there.
I don't want to do that to people. I got a new account. So anybody wants to see all my vinyl shit, follow me at Dave's Record Room, and that way I can nerd out shamelessly. Dave's Record Room, and showing off all my vinyl over there. So, yeah, very excited about that. Oh, also, I just go ahead and throw a plug in. We got Dave's Kitchen Norm scheduled to come up any day now. I'm mixing it up for the patrons. I'm doing Dave's Record Room. All right, it's not a permanent thing. Just a little mixing it up, you know. If it offends anybody and you feel like you're getting ripped off, your $4, talk to me. I will figure something out.
What are you
going to
do? You're just going to show them your records?
It's a little record web series. So just talk about records. And, yeah, we've already got one in the can. Should be up any day
like
now.
A kid with new toys?
Mm-hmm. I got this one. And
this one's lasers?
But, yeah, man. Yeah.
That record collector scene.
I love it, man. I fucking love it. And I love hanging out at the record shops and like eavesdropping on some of the real nerds. Like, I think I'm a nerd about it, but like there's some, like I was at Atomic Records in Burbank this weekend. That's a nice little mom and pop store. And I don't know if they were having like their weekly jazz meeting or what, but there was about 8 or 10 45-year-old dudes all circled around the jazz aisle just like nerding out. And it was impressive to see the amount of knowledge that some of these dudes have, because I'm still a novice to it. I've been collecting records on and off for 20 years, but I haven't really gotten it hadn't grabbed
but
me until
jazz
recently.
Jazz all about you know who played on that. It's like sports when you're like, this guy played for him.
That's exactly what they were talking about.
That, so mm-hmm. It all like...
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they were talking about. Like, did you know that the bass player on that album was blah, 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 blah? And it was impressive watching those
I feel
guys.
Like, yeah, you impress people with your knowledge of jazz more than you do with your enjoyment of it.
That could be true, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm a fan, but how do I still pretend I'm better than other people?
Oh, man. But, yeah, having fun with that. Saw a movie the other day that I have never seen. It's kind of a classic, I guess.
Classic.
More of a modern classic.
Modern
in the last
classic.
20 years. I had never seen Wet Hot American
Journey.
Summer.
Really?
Have you seen that?
I did. It's a fun one.
That's got all the all the big stars, the comedy stars of today, back when they were kind of starting out. And never saw it. And
fun and silly. Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. And very silly, very self-aware. And one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I love these real subtle, almost meta jokes. And there's a scene in there, and this has happened in other movies, where there was a guy riding a motorcycle. I forgot the actor's name. It's the guy who's been in a lot of the Judd Apatow movies. He was the
bad boy?
He was the...
Paul Rudd?
No, not Paul Rudd. I don't know the guy. Joe, he's got an Italian name. Anyway, he's in Superbad. He's the one that...
Joe Latruglio.
Yes. Yes, that guy. Mm-hmm. The one that runs over... Jonah Hill, and then they takes him to a party. Anyway, so he's riding a motorcycle. He's doing some scene. He's riding a motorcycle. And then just for a split second too long, they show the stunt guy riding the motorcycle. Just enough to where you're like, oh, that's clearly a stunt guy. But it was so brief. It was so brief where you're like, was that on purpose or is that just how that was cut? But then...
Just a tip of the hat.
Three minutes later... When that character gets to where he's going on his motorcycle, They show about a 4-second scene of the stunt guy driving up and parking the motorcycle, and then it cuts to the Joe guy waving at somebody, like the unneeded stunt guy. That was one of the funniest jokes I've ever
seen.
Well,
well, that was Spaceballs.
Did they do that?
Yeah, where they're like, there's a chase scene, and then you see him catch up, and like, and he's like, no, you caught their stunt doubles. And it's the woman, the princess, but it's like a guy with a cigar, and uh-huh. stubble in a wig, and it's like, you caught their stunt doubles. Like, yeah,
that's funny.
Just the breaking the fourth wall, yeah. just a little bit. But that whole movie was, I'm surprised you haven't seen that. I mean, it took me a while
yeah.
when it came out to be like, yeah.
It's one of those I've
watch
been aware
this
of.
One, it's going to be.
Well, and honestly, here's the why. I think I've had a few opportunities to watch it, and I declined or never just put forth the effort. I like a lot of those guys, but I feel like a lot of that's from the improv world. Like, I like Amy Poehler, and I like all those folks, but mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes when there's too many of those actors in the movie, it's like...
Bit of a jerk-off
right.
fest.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody's... All these improv kids are up their own ass, and yeah, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, are we laughing because it's funny, or are we laughing because... how it's like we're part of the inside mm-hmm. joke.
But it was solid.
Alternative comedy.
Yeah. It was really funny. Enjoyed that, but... One other quick thing I want to talk to before we get talk about till we get into our subject.
There's no quick thing on this podcast.
Okay. Just remember how for the last couple weeks I've been sick, and I'm finally over it. Other than my ears aren't completely back.
That means you're not over.
I'm over it. I'm fine. But
you still can't hear.
I can hear. It's just not 100%.
You know, if you can't hear, that means you're not better.
I'm good. I'm fine. But been putting off going to the doctor, and I won. I didn't go, and now I'm better, so ha-ha.
You're not better, and you didn't win.
But Katie...
For a record fan, no wonder you love the sound of shitty records, because you can't hear anyone. Can't hear that MP3 is superior in every way.
Oh, you're out of your fucking mind.
No, I have my hearing.
No.
Actually, I don't have tonight.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Get this, man. Katie.
I'll get it.
Very, very healthy. Personal trainer. Just doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, mm-hmm. not overweight. Exercises like a mother. Like just, she's at Barry's literally 6 times a week. And you know more than yeah. I do because I've never experienced it. But from what I hear, that's a hard workout. Like that's not where you go to kind of phone it in.
I go once every 10 months. That's about as much as I can do.
She went to the doctor the other day for an unrelated thing, and 35-year-old healthy as a horse Katie has diabetes. She's a diabetic.
Not to bury the lead there. Is healthy as a horse a phrase?
What do you mean? Is it a phrase or did I make it up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a phrase. That's a thing people say. Healthy as a horse.
Because I feel horses suffer from a variety of ailments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know the validity of the statement, but like, I didn't make it up.
Just
that's
alliteration.
That's a thing people say. Yeah. It might just be because it's the alliteration.
Not a lot of other animals with H's.
But she's got diabetes, man. What the fuck?
What?
The same way. Between what the two of us, you're the one that has gout, and then between the two of me and her, she's the one that's got diabetes?
Which type?
She doesn't know yet. She's got to go back. They took some blood work. But I'm hoping 2 is the less serious one. Is that correct?
I think
type 2 is... They said, oh, it's not a big deal. It's manageable. But she's got to cut out all sugar and all carbs. And I told her, it's like, you need to get a second opinion. Like... Do they mean all sugar and all carbs, or like you can only have 30 grams a day?
Doesn't she only eat fruit?
Yeah.
Which is all sugar.
I mean, that's
not carbs.
That's not the only thing she eats, but like, yeah, but she eats that in lieu of like actual sweets. But yeah, it's a lot of sugar. But
that's
surely no one. Like, I heard this statement, and I thought it made great sense years ago. It was talking about diet and fruit, and some nutritionist was on a podcast, and they were like, fruit, fruit. And he goes, no one ever got fat by eating fruit. Fruit's not – yes, fruit has sugar in it, but if you're overweight, fruit probably ain't your problem. It's all the other shit you're eating. But yeah, I got to find out if she's got to have zero or like – I'm like, find out if you can have like, you know – like on the keto diet, you can still have like 30 carbs, 30 grams of carbs.
Diet here. I wonder what that means.
So, point being, out of solidarity, I'm going to try to do this with her. I'm going to try to cut out.
You're trying to get diabetes?
I'm going to try. I don't have to try too hard.
You know why? Because you want to be her type. Two.
I'm going to try to get rid of all my sugar and carbs.
Fucking jokes.
She already doesn't drink. She quit drinking. She used to drink, and she'll tell you that. But she's been sober for about 2.5-3 years, and now she's like, God, now I can't even have fruit?
That's, I was talking to my mom. My mom still smokes, and she was she's like, I know this is ridiculous the way I'm thinking, but it is the way I think that if she quits at this point, that's when she'll get cancer.
Hmm.
Because her system is operating how it's operating fine.
It's used to it.
And once you change something, that's when it starts to break apart. Yeah. So if she were to quit, that's what her body would be like, well, what's wrong? Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then the cancer would get in there.
Hmm.
She's like, she's like, I know this is a dumb way to feel, but this is how you see people like clean it all up, and then everything starts attacking or doing this.
Yeah. Thing.
So, I mean, I don't think that's science, but that's... That sucks.
Yeah, man. She's real bummed out about it. So she's got to go back. But I want to find out, like if you're a diabetic, this is...
No carbs, they said?
Spoken like a true fat guy. Well, because carbs turn into sugar.
Yeah, limit refined carbohydrates.
But like I guess my question is it zero or just keep it really low? I don't see how a human being could survive with zero sugar or carbs. Like, that just seems... I know body would do fine, but I just mean mentally.
No, it's like anybody if they're vegan. I just can't... I had to look at ham like a dog that couldn't eat off the table.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. At least you're in a city that kind of caters to a lot of weird diets and still makes good stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
At least it's like you're not like in rural Alabama. Like, well, I guess here's an ear of corn. And you could... look at this picture of a pineapple while you eat it, I guess.
Well, that was me when I was a vegetarian 10 years ago living in Canton, Georgia. There was no vegan or vegetarian restaurants there. So it was just when we would eat out, it's like, well, we'll go to the Mexican place and get a bean burrito and rice.
Yeah, butter and pepper spaghetti.
So, yeah, man. But, yeah, so I'm dating a diabetic. What irony there. She's the diabetic out of the two of us. But, yeah, man. So I'm going to try... I'm going to try to hop on that train. And now, it'll probably be exactly what you just described with your mom and smoking. Mm-hmm. As soon as I do this, then I'll get diabetes.
Well, maybe you'll just have to go to the doctor for something.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Well, I wish you guys the best of luck. That sounds like a shit situation for old Katie.
A lot of crazy stuff going on over there. But, yeah. Anyway. Should we get into it?
What are we doing? Yeah, what are we doing here?
Got a nice
lot of, there's like... My hummingbirds are gone.
Uh-huh.
That's all right. They grew up. They moved out.
They left the nest.
They did leave the nest. Uh-huh. That's the literal. That's literal, but we have, Rachel's been especially empty nesting here.
Uh-huh.
It was weird because there's two of them, and the one we were thinking the runt was the smaller one.
Uh-huh.
But that's really, when you're thinking hummingbirds, being smaller is a virtue, so it was the fat one that was a runt.
Hmm.
So the smaller one got up and flew right away. The fat one couldn't get its own ass out of the nest
because
the mom would feed. The mom was smaller than the bird. Sitting there just jamming stuff down the fat one because it was weird because we watched him in the we got a security camera up there just for the hummingbirds. I don't know if you were following that at all.
No.
Rachel, it was a whole saga she had put up. Very well done. Good content. She's good.
Really? Yeah. Where can I see this?
That's on her...
on her Instagram?
Yeah. I'm not trying to blow up her spot on here.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'll check it out.
But the, so then the two of them were like, you know, baby birds open their mouth to get fed, and the fat one opened its mouth and was just very calm about it. You could tell, got all over. The little one, it was just a violent thing to watch. Uh-huh. The way the feeding was like just choking it and stabbing into the other one's mouth to feed it. And the fat one was like, ooh, give me more.
Hmm.
And then that fat one, that was having a hard time. It almost fell. It would try to fly, and then it was too fat, and then it would fall out of the nest. Huh. But they're out there somewhere.
Well,
they're out there buzzing around. They made an old Chummer and Slummer.
Is that what y'all named them?
Yeah, I named the mom Bummer. Bummer the Hummer. Our two kids, Chummer and Slummer.
Look at that.
I didn't really think it was going to get this far, so I didn't put a lot of care into the names.
Yeah. Well, you did a good job.
Well, you know.
You raised some good birds, Kyle.
Know, they're out there. They're still around. I hear them. Yeah. But I don't know. I got no other.
Nothing going on?
Nah.
No? Well, let's get into this topic. It's a good one today.
Let's talk about stuff.
Dave,
let's talk about stuff.
You've been to Canada a bunch.
Yeah, man.
Didn't you do a joke about spending 2 weeks in Winnipeg?
Fucking Winnipeg.
Didn't you have a joke about that?
Yeah, Winnipeg.
What'd you think of Winnipeg?
The time that I was there, it was terrible.
Really? Why?
But maybe it's different now. No, it was all different circumstances. I was there in February, and it was a very bleak city. If you want to hear a tale of it, listen to the Weaker Than song called I Hate Winnipeg.
Huh.
Maybe they're being facetious, but I was in a real dumpy condo for a comedy club, and the shows were bad, and it was in the same club for 2 weeks, and then the condo, there was a ladybug infestation.
Really?
In November inside, which
is... That sounds fun.
It's not when you're just walking barefoot and it was like stepping on popcorn kernels.
Oh, there's that many?
Yeah, and they're crunchy. You know, the little hard outer shells.
Yeah.
It was like just, I was like M&M halves.
Yeah, nature's M&Ms.
Yeah, just all just crackling and popping. And it was just an unfun, it was like a sad mall across the street. There just wasn't a lot going on. I'm like, okay, if you're in Winnipeg, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
I had a very glum
2 weeks
in Winnipeg.
Well, I've never been. But I, you know, I'm open to going. I've been to Montreal.
Yeah. Oh no, the other places in Canada.
Yeah, well, right. I want to check more Canada out. So, anyway, it leads me to our topic today. Did you know that Canada, over the past several decades, they've averaged about 1,500 UFO sightings a year? For like the past several decades, 1,500 reported sightings a year. That seems like a lot.
How many are in America?
I don't know. I didn't, you know, yeah, I know we have nothing to contrast it to, but, and I know Canada's a big country, but that just still seems like a lot. What I want to talk to you today about, the Falcon Lake UFO. This happened back in 1967 in Manitoba, and I brought up Winnipeg because our subject here lived in Winnipeg, and then he would go to Manitoba. This guy named Stephen Michalak. That's how you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan or Stephen Michalak. He was an industrial mechanic and an amateur geologist. This dude loved to fuck around with rocks on his spare time. He'd go out in the woods and bang around with hammers and stuff and just a real prospector, trying to get out there and find all these rocks, quartz and silver. That's what he was into. And oftentimes he would go over to Manitoba to Whiteshell Provincial Park. That's just north of Falcon Lake in Manitoba, Canada. But anyway, on May 20th, 1967, Stephen was digging around for quartz. He's 51 years old at the time. And while he's doing his little thing there, he got startled by a gaggle of geese. Started just raising hell. This big gaggle of geese making all kinds of noise. And old Stephen stops his prospecting for a few minutes to figure out what these geese...
Mr. Michalak?
Yeah, these geese seeing what they're up to. And he looked up in the sky, and he saw two cigar-shaped objects with a reddish glow hovering about 50 yards away from him. And as they got closer, he said at first they seemed like just kind of cigar-shaped, but as they got closer, he could see that they were kind of your classic saucer. And... one of them hovered for a while and then took off. Another one landed.
So the cigar shape is maybe people just seeing them
Yeah, from a certain
as
angle.
A profile.
Yeah, profile.
So you only see them there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of them hovered for a while, took off. The other one landed, and believing it was, it might have been a secret U.S. military experimental craft. Steven kind of hid in the bushes, and he watched this thing for like 30 minutes. It was just parked for 30 minutes, and he even drew a sketch of it. Did you get that picture I sent you?
Well, yeah.
He drew a sketch of it, pretty detailed sketch. But he watched this thing for about a half hour. Then he decided to approach it, and he later recalled warm air. Like as he was approaching it, just
in the bushes.
An overwhelming sense.
I thought that lady getting undressed in her own home was maybe a top secret U.S. government military operation. So I hid in the bushes and watched for
half. What are you
doing
in the bushes there, Steven? And so anyway, he started to approach it, and he felt a sense. There was a big wave of warm air and the smell of sulfur.
Can I be honest? This looks like a nacho hat.
What's a nacho hat?
It's a hat made out of nachos.
Uh-huh.
And there, you put the salsa in the middle. I think I saw it on The Simpsons and wanted it to be real. Or the other way around. I don't know.
It does sound like a good time.
I'm going to look it up.
So he got closer, and he just said the whole thing reeked of sulfur. There's a big wave of warm air.
Oh, God, it's real.
And he could hear what he described as a whirring sound of motors. He could hear, like, motors turning. And like air hissing. So it was like a hissing sound, some whirring sounds of motors. He also noted that the door was open on the side, and he looked in and he could see these bright lights inside, and he heard voices muffled by the sounds of the motor. So he couldn't tell what language they were speaking or even if it was earthly or extraterrestrial or whatever, but he said he heard some voices.
I just proved that nacho hats are real.
Yeah, let me see. Is it something you could, like, is it functional?
Well.
Okay.
And the top, the middle's the bowl for salsa. I don't know how long you could wear it for.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wouldn't say it's a functional garment. But, I, you know, if you just, like, walked out of the kitchen, like, guys, nacho hat, and then you took it off your head.
Uh-huh.
And put it on the table.
It'd be a good Halloween outfit.
But then immediately people are like, I'm not going to eat those, like, every part of the. All the chips have touched your head.
Uh-huh.
So that's upsetting.
You'd have to get like your girlfriend or something or your buddy to show up in the nacho hat, but also he has queso instead of salsa. So a little bit from my hat, a little bit from your hat. You know, maybe have another buddy with guacamole. Then you got a whole crew.
It's going to be a three nacho hat party.
Uh-huh. How much is a nacho hat? Are they
selling
them?
These all look homemade.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was something you could order.
No, these are all homemade items. This is just drunken ingenuity. Anyway, I'm not trying to derail.
No, that's all right. So anyway, Steven approaches this aircraft, and after hiding in the bushes for 30 minutes, had drawn sketches, and he approached and he called out. He said something about, he called him Yankee Boy. Steven is, he's dead now. He was a Polish immigrant. So apparently, and I saw some video of him. He got a nice thick Polish accent.
He saw UFOs and he called them Yankee Boy?
Yeah. Well, he thought initially, like I said, he thought it would have been like a U.S., like a NASA thing or military thing. So to hear him tell it, his first reaction wasn't, this is a UFO, because he said he didn't believe in them at the time. There's some quote he said, to me a UFO was about as believable as the Loch Ness Monster. So his first reaction wasn't UFO. He thought it was some sort of military thing or NASA thing. So the door's open. He could hear some voices. And he's a mechanic, so he offered his mechanical help. He says when...
Just immediately?
Yeah.
He yelled into a spaceship.
Yeah. You guys, Yankee boys having trouble? I can
Sounds
help you.
Sounds like it's misfiring.
Uh-huh. To check the points?
Yeah. How are your plugs? How are your rods and cones? Is it the rods and cones?
Need a new Johnson rod. Anyway, when he hollered out to him, he said the voices went quiet. Nobody answered. So then Stephen, being a native of Poland, he spoke Polish, got no response. Then he spoke in Russian.
Where's the screen door on the submarine?
No response. And then finally in German. This guy spoke Polish, Russian, and German.
I was dumb in all three languages trying to talk to aliens.
So Now he claims that he went even closer.
Oh, wait. These are German aliens.
It's German aliens. And he went closer. He noticed that the craft was made out of the smooth metal with no seams, just like solid, smooth metal. He then looked into the bright doorway. He said the lights were so bright that he was wearing welding goggles when he was prospecting. It's because when he hits a hammer on them rocks, that way he can protect his eyes from any of the spray.
Welding goggles.
Yeah, welding goggles.
The kind you can't see through unless there's a bright light showing. Yeah. So he's just blind hitting things with hammers in the woods.
Yeah.
This is...
So, where am I at here? Okay. He said, oh, yeah.
Have you worn welding goggles?
I have, yeah.
You can only see flame.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the picture I saw of him, he had their regular, like, goggles, but then they had a flap.
Flipped out.
A flip-flap thing that makes them.
So you were not taking. Okay, all right. Yeah. I take it back.
So.
Picture this guy alone doing a pinata swing with a hammer at nothing in the woods.
He put on his welding goggles because the doorway was so bright. And so inside, he saw light beams and panels of various colors, flashing lights, but he couldn't see anybody or anything.
Okay.
And then he stepped away, and three panels quickly slid across the door opening, sealing it shut. So it has some sort of nice, smooth panel door that just sealed shut. He reached out to touch the craft. At which time he said that when he touched it, he was wearing gloves, and the fingertips on his gloves caught fire. The craft then began to turn counterclockwise, as Mikulak says he noticed a panel that contained a grid of holes, and shortly after he was struck in the chest by a blast of air or gas that knocked him backwards and set his shirt and his hat on fire. So he's poking around. The door's open. He's offering his mechanical help. He doesn't get a response. He speaks three different languages. No response. The door shuts. He touches it. His gloves catch on fire, and then he gets hit with a blast of air or gas, and his hat and his shirt catch on fire.
I mean, I see the picture of this guy.
Yeah, you see
he's got the dots burnt into his torso.
So he ripped off his shirt and his hat, stopped, dropped, and rolled. While he's doing that, the aircraft flew away.
What did he die from?
I don't know. He died back in 99. I think he was like 83.
Did I show his shirt, though?
Disoriented and nauseous, Steven stumbled through the forest and vomited several times.
Yeah.
It's probably on mushrooms. He eventually made his way back to his motel room in Falcon Lake, caught a bus back to Winnipeg. He was treated at a hospital for burns to his chest and his stomach, later turned into raised sores on a grid-like pattern, as you can see there on that pic. And we'll post that pic, by the way. And for weeks afterwards, he suffered from diarrhea, headaches, blackouts, and weight loss. So this really fucked him up good.
So they got the...
So that's old Stephen Mikulak's story there.
But they got a piece of radioactive metal that was retrieved.
Now here's the investigation part. Items were later retrieved from the encounter, including Stephen's glove, his shirt, some tools. They were all subject to extensive analysis by the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, their crime lab. No one could determine the cause of the burns. Yeah, where's the part about the metal? I'll get to that in a minute. At the landing site, there was a circle about 15 feet in diameter with no moss or vegetation growing the same way it was growing in the nearby areas. Just kind of a burnt-out 15-foot circle. Soil samples, along with samples of clothing, they were tested and deemed to be highly radioactive, as were pieces of metal that were chipped out of cracks in the rock about a year after the incident. The metal had somehow melted into the cracks of the rocky area that he was working on. Many of the items have since been lost as they were transferred through various authorities and agencies. However, Mikulak's son, Stan, he still has one of those pieces of metal, and he claims it's still to this day radioactive. And still sick in 1968, with recurrences of burns showing up on his chest and suffering from blackouts, Stephen went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and doctors did a thorough investigation. They even sent him to a psychiatrist who, quote, said he came back with a report that this fellow, who's very pragmatic, very down to earth, and does not make up stories. That was the psychiatrist's take on old Stephen. And then Stephen's son later, they wrote a book. His son and another guy wrote a book that just came out recently. I don't have the name of it. But in the book, Stan, his son, said, quote, if dad hoaxed this, remember, we're talking about a blue-collar industrial mechanic. If he hoaxed it, then he was a freaking genius. So,
I mean, it's like the weird, the burn pattern and everything that you see pictures of is kind of...
And he claimed, to the day he died, he claimed that his story was true. Now, he never, they make a point of saying this, he never claimed it was extraterrestrial. He said, I don't know what the hell it was. But he claims that the story I just told you is true. And he didn't see any aliens, but he heard somebody or something talking.
Yeah, like, aliens isn't his thing. He's like, I saw this craft.
Yeah.
So we're the ones putting aliens on it. It could be some, he could be right.
Yeah, it could have been an experimental thing. But what would, like, I mean, yeah.
But that's why this one, I'm like, I'm not quick to just say fucking no to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got, yeah, you got some hardened old Pollock out in the woods breaking rocks. Those guys aren't.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't.
Yeah, they suffer no fools.
No, no, they don't.
Yeah.
They do not.
Just hit those, break the rocks.
Yeah. Zimne pivo. Means cold beer.
Really? Yeah. Say it again.
Zimne pivo.
Zimne pivo?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see it on the signs in Chicago.
Zimne pivo.
There's cerveza fria or Zimne pivo.
Speaking of hobbies, that seems, no offense to people who are into it, that seemed like a pretty boring hobby. It's a rock.
You know, my buddy growing up was in, and I was like, I could see, you just like the same way people like to go take pictures of nature or something, get out.
Yeah.
You go tinker around with your little rock hammer, and you go off into the desert and be like, oh, this one, I know. Yeah. I know because this kind of rock here, this little rock I found means the stuff around it is this old. Like,
okay.
It's not just collecting, you can, that's. Geology kind of turns into its own sort of archaeology. You're figuring out the age of where you're at. Mm-hmm. You're figuring out what kind of events took place there. Like, oh, is this, you know, a volcanic rock? Is this a sedimentary rock? Was it from, you know, was this an ocean before? Was there a volcano nearby? Mm-hmm. So I see the interest there. Mm-hmm. I can get that. It's a, you know,
well, and
it's like
one,
nature's baseball cards.
Yeah, and it's one of the most, like, primitive and, like, childlike in terms of, like, when I was a little boy, you gave me a hammer when I was three or four.
You said you go out and just smash some of the hammer. You can keep doing that as an adult in the name of geology.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah, it can. I mean, it can tell you a lot about the areas, you know. You might not be finding, you know, arrowheads or bone fragments, but you'd be like, oh, this rock means this happened.
Yeah. But he would take little independent vacations.
Find mammoth bits in Iowa or something?
Did they?
Yeah.
But he would go on these little vacations by himself. He had three kids and a wife, and he was like, I take bus to Manitoba.
Well, that's his own kind of. I was like, don't do an accent. Pretty close.
It's okay.
I take bus to Manitoba.
I worked with a Polish guy one time in a restaurant, and he goes, first day, he goes, David, we have big problem. I said, what's that? I forgot his name. He goes, we have many salaries. But no wings. We'd run out of chicken wings. That's the way he said. We have
many celery.
We have many celeries, but no wings. I was like, well, we better go get some wings there, big dog. He was very worried that our celery to wing ratio was all flip flopped.
Oh, but, shit. I just looked up Zimne Pivo. I know there's actually bars called Zimne Pivo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So many celeries.
Many celeries, but no wings. Well, I'm sorry,
this
buddy.
Guy, I don't know. I feel like this guy's, this one's kind of got me a little bit.
Well, by the way, that book is called When They Appeared. And, I'm trying to, Yeah. When They Appeared is the name of the book. It just came out recently, like in the last few years. I say this too, like, I used to have a joke about this, but I totally believe it. Like when a goat farmer in Nepal says he saw Yeti, I totally believe that, dude. Because who...
Goat farmer in Nepal's seen five things.
I don't think they have the capacity for bullshit.
Yeah, but they also don't have the capacity to know anything else. They've seen their yaks. They've seen their bowl of mushed grain. And they've seen their sandals made out of mud. That's all they know. You throw one thing in there, of course it's a mythical creature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably the UPS guy.
I just feel like this
One UPS guy finally making its way up to the only street address in Siberia. And like, well, that's probably the Yeti.
I just feel like this hardened Polish immigrant he's not bullshitting. I don't tell fibs.
No, this guy, I'm with him.
Yeah, man. And a lot of tons and tons of investigation was done in this by multiple agencies, including the what do they call them? The Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
The Mounties.
But yeah, so there's all kind of there's hundreds and hundreds of pages of official documents and stuff, and so yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm...
Canada's an interesting place in that, I don't know, maybe because we live in America, but I just feel like Canada gets overlooked. Like, eh, those guys up there. You know, because they're, you know, they're never in the international news. They're always just, they're chill. They're not troublemakers.
Well, I think also we're the loudest ones, so mm-hmm. Whatever is happening up there, it does barely makes a dent in all the 24-hour news cycle bullshit we have to sit through.
Yeah.
So, I like this one.
Yeah, man. That's about it. That's all I got.
This is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Interesting story.
This old fucker banging around on rocks? UFO lands? All right, what do you need? Was it a tie rod? Was it pulling? Is it pull when you accelerate? Or is it pull when you brake?
Check the UV joints.
If it pulls when you brake, that's an alignment.
But yeah, the fact that he got sick and like...
The picture of him with the dots on him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All burnt up and everything.
Could be radioactive. But yeah, doctors didn't... They never could diagnose him. Nobody knew what the fuck his illness was. And he was, you know, so something... Something happened.
How Canadian, too. Well, I don't know. I guess, yeah. The old Polish fella went up there and saw a thing. He went up. He just being friendly, you know, went over there and find out.
Up there by the lake. And he goes, hey, I'm going crazy up there by the lake. I need some woman action. And I go, well, I don't arrange that sort of thing. It's my favorite line in Fargo. I don't arrange that sort of thing. So he told me to call it in and... I called you.
That guy in the emergency room when I was in Hamilton. And we're out there. And he's going to go, let's go, let's fucking start. So I go out there. And all of a sudden it's 10 guys. And fucking Tony's nowhere. And now we're fighting these fucking 10 guys. Where the fuck is Tony? We're getting our fucking ass kicked. And Tony's nowhere. We fucking clocked him good is what we did. Can I please go have a smoke?
Is this from?
When I was on that tour and I had to go to the emergency room for the gout, and there was some guy whose face was mangled, and he was just basically just repeating the fight story to his friends, but would yell out to the nurses about having a smoke. Fucking Tony's nowhere, and I'm like, what the fuck, Tony? We're out here fighting because of shit you said. Fucking 10 guys out here about the, can I please go have a smoke?
It's that hockey culture, man. They're not afraid to fight. Yeah, we'd fucking drop the gloves, eh? Fucking punch you right in the melon.
Watch Goon. Goon, underrated. I've said it before.
Goon is a good movie. I like that.
Underrated movie. Sean William Scott. Let him be in more stuff.
I like He's that fun. Dude, man.
I want Sean William Scott and Michael Pena in every movie.
I like Michael Pena, too.
Every time he's in a movie, I'm like, this is going to be good.
I tell you about the time Sean William Scott was on Cribs way back in the day, right when he first blew up from American Pie, mm-hmm. and back when Cribs was still on. And at first glance, you think it's a joke, but then by the end of it, I thought he was being sincere. His crib was just an apartment in North Hollywood. And he's just like, yeah. And like, this is like a year after American Pie. Yeah. Like, he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he's just got like in a shitty apartment in North Hollywood with a roommate. Ah, that's Dan. That's my buddy. And this is my room. That's his room. But they did like a real Cribs episode.
I remember Paul Walker's was just his RV he takes to the beach to surf. Look at this little door here. It's got a toilet in it. I guess it's a bathroom.
Oh, man. So, yeah, there you go. There you go. Falcon Lake UFO. Oh, that was suggested by a listener, by the way. I threw it up on the Patreon page the other day asking for suggestions, and we got a whole shit ton of them. So I can't remember who suggested that, but you know who you are. So thanks
for
that.
Well, thank you for that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, good one.
Yeah, a UFO story with a lot of evidence. There's metal, leftover metal. There's ailments on the eyewitness. All kinds of crazy stuff, so that's cool, man. Let's transition real quick. Couple of birthday shout-outs.
Oh,
yeah, man. Hey, come on. These are listeners, and they like to hear their birthdays announced.
Everyone has one.
That's fine.
When's your birthday, Dave?
My birthday's in August.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
Doesn't matter.
I'll give myself a shout-out come August. Happy birthday to Jen Bamer. She and her boyfriend, Jake Rivera, are avid listeners. So happy birthday, Jen Bamer. Also, happy birthday to Eli Gardner. He turns 1 year old this week.
So, he shouldn't be listening.
Yeah, shouldn't be listening, but that's from his pops there.
Talked about eating our own cum last week.
Well, Eli doesn't understand. But Pop says that Eli is already listening, so he makes...
That's wrong. You're a bad parent.
Happy birthday to Eli. So, yeah, man. Comic of the week this week, Josh Gondelman. You know Josh.
That goddamn sweetheart.
Just a real asshole, that guy. No, one of the nicest guys
ever
met.
He's mean and unfunny.
Josh Gondelman, new album out now called Dancing on a Weeknight. And Josh is a former Comic of the Week. Also, I think he is still writing for old John Oliver.
Is he?
Josh has won, like, Emmys. Yeah.
So well, what's he need our bump for?
You know, he's good, too. He's got a
he
good album out.
Our
so.
Bullshit.
Yeah, man. What you got to plug?
Nothing.
Nothing? You got nothing.
This is out tomorrow. Salt Lake City, baby.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. You're
going wise guys.
Wise guys.
This weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Next week, Eugene, Bend, Tacoma.
Tacoma. Well, that's good.
And then I ain't doing shit all
you ain't
summer.
Doing shitting?
No, man. I'm retired.
Yeah, I can't wait to retire, man. I'm going to open a record store. That's my new thing.
It's not retired.
You know, I was going to open a restaurant
I'm
or a
retired
food truck.
Because I don't do voiceover at Comedy Central anymore.
My goal has always been to open a food truck or a restaurant when I retire. And then I realized, like, that's still a lot of work. Owning a record store would be a piece of cake. Just hang out at a record store all day, talk about
shit.
Yeah,
there's a reason those never stay in business.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Unsustainable business model.
No, that's not true.
Every time I see a record store close down, I'm like, yeah, you wasted your parents' money. The same feeling when an all cupcakes place doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Well, of course not.
I will be, I don't promote local shows too often, but I'll be doing Hot Tub next Monday, the 29th.
Ooh, Hot Tub's a good time.
Here in LA.
That's a worthwhile show.
At the Virgil with old Kristen Schaal and Kurt Braunohler.
One of the best shows in LA, I'll say that much.
I'll be there next Monday, the 29th.
One of the best venues, best shows.
Yep. Coming up in May, you can catch me in Pensacola, Tallahassee, Orlando, Chapel Hill, Columbia, Greenville, Charlotte, Chattanooga, Nashville, Knoxville, Bristol, and Atlanta.
Boy.
All those dates at dumbdavestone.com.
Oh, man. I've done the 15th. You can catch me at my doctor's office getting checked for sleep apnea at 10 a.m. That's May 15th. May 18th is a Saturday. There's a vintage BMX show out in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
That I'm just going to go to.
Yeah, you're going to go to that? That sounds fun.
No comedy. I'm just letting you know what I'm up to for the rest of the month.
What is a vintage BMX show? Do they ride or do you just buy and sell gear?
No, just people showing them like a car show.
Okay, cool.
Again, you know, people talk about, like, I'm sitting here knocking vinyl, but I'm going to go. But just people like restore an old BMX bike.
Do they do like demos? Will there be people?
There might be people doing tricks in this and that. This is more just like a show. Okay. You know, more people just showing off the handiwork they've done to bicycles.
That sounds fun, man.
And yeah, I mean, I got stuff, but I'll bring it up when I got to bring it up.
Yeah.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.